Okay, well, I thought to, you know, present a few reflections, and I hope that others will feel free to interject or to ask questions or comment as they wish. I would like to start with a little prayer, just a moment of silence, and I'll say a prayer. Well, loving God, we gather from various distances to be attentive to your word. Grant that in our thoughts and words, we may be messengers of your Holy Spirit, that we may be filled with your love so as to share that with one another and with all those with whom we are concerned. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what I did, I did put together a few reflections, and Catherine Poland suggested a topic, or one of the topics that she recommended was things that we can do in troubled times, and how to pray in troubled times, or how not to be afraid in troubled times. You all are very much aware, probably more aware than I am, of what's going on with the coronavirus. And I thought to share a few reflections I've had in regard to this. There are a lot of ideas and worries about what is happening with this pandemic. Let me share with you what I find meaningful, but hopefully this will also give you, some of you, a chance to share with something of your own experience. A few days ago, I asked Dr. Emily Cash, who works with St. Luke's Institute. She's a psychologist with whom, works in this institute, and I've been in touch with her a few years and used to see her regularly, but haven't, you know, for a long time. But then recently I decided to go and have a session with her. Anyway, in our talking together, I asked her, what is a healthy psychological response to what's going on in our world today in regard to this virus? Her immediate response was that it is good to remember it is temporary. It is something passing. And I would add that it is good to remember God is right in the midst of all that's going on. You know, I think in some ways that is so key. And I feel each of your lives is dedicated to remaining close to God in whatever your life situation may be. It is so important, I think, not to get caught up in the fear or preoccupation this is creating for a lot of people. One wants to know what to do in the face of interacting with someone who has the virus. But here too, you don't want to be overcome with anxiety over what is happening to you. The monastic community must be ready to face the possibility of one of the monks getting the virus and what we might do. As someone said to me, it could be one of the nurses that come here to help in our infirmary who actually ends up bringing in the virus. So you kind of never know. And I think we have to realize it's beyond our control. One can worry endlessly, but this really doesn't help and will only make things worse. I know our Father Lawrence Maury just got home last evening from a novice director's meeting out in California. It was at the Vina Monastery in Vina, California, kind of another northern California. And of course, there's fear that, you know, he would be exposed to the virus. And anyway, all that to say, you know, I don't want to get caught up in the fear, and neither does anyone else. And I think we just want to be conscious of our own reaction to what's going on. I've often thought that sooner or later, most of us probably are going to get the virus. You know, it's a lot like the flu, and most of us have had some experience of the flu. And hopefully, even if over 60, we may be over 60 years of age, our immune systems are going to be healthy enough to resist serious illness or death as a result of it. Jokingly, I recently said to close friend of the monastery, a Dr. Jane Thiebaud, who frequently comes here to the Abbey to speak to the older members, anyone who would like to talk to her. She's written a number of books about how to make the best of one's later years in life. And she's a very spiritual person. She obviously has a wonderful appreciation of how God is at work at each stage of our human development. Kidding about the danger of the virus, she said to me, "This may be just a good way to pass from this limited world to one much more rewarding." You know, we both laughed, but she is on to the right attitude, I think. You know, we have to always remember, you know, there's a natural fear of sickness or death, but then that this life is quickly passing. And it was just rewarding to me, you know, this woman, married woman, has children, she's had long experience and has been a tremendous influence in Louisville, working with the elderly of various backgrounds. There is a way of seeing all this in a larger context as part of each of our journeys, and part of a divine design. I suspect there is more here than just God's permissive will, and that it is an awakening call for all the human family to work together for our common good. We are capable of something far more creative and life-giving if we just take more loving care of one another. All our lives are deeply interdependent on one another. This is so true of the church as well. There are wonderful resources available for building up the body of Christ if we will only make room for them, allow them to prosper. Part of what I am hoping from this session is that others will feel free and be able to voice what they see as meaningful with all that is going on, and so enrich the whole community gathered here in this Zoom sharing. One of the thoughts I had was, is there a gospel episode that is equivalent to what is happening with the virus? Would be interesting to hear from you all where you see parallels in our gospels with what is happening to us today. The episode that came to my mind was Jesus out in the boat with his disciples, and all at once there is a storm at sea. and the ship is in danger of sinking because of the waves. Jesus is asleep in the boat, and the disciples awaken him, telling him they are perishing. And he tells them not to be afraid and to increase their faith. Right away, I am aware of just how crucial in our own lives is the virtue of faith at this point. That we remain confident that God is watching over us is right in the middle of all that is happening. I just read in the National Catholic Reporter of a woman who has been busy working with her children now that the schools are closed. Her 11 and 12-year-olds have lots of questions about what all that is happening. Could coronavirus be a punishment from God? She asked her children. Their response is, no way, they said. In fact, she says, my son argued that even a virus was God's creature. Let me tell you, conversation with kids is rarely boring, she said. How often the young have insight we elders fail to see, and thereby enrich our lives. They have a way of being connected, of seeing what is right in front of our eyes. And this would be my main offering to all of you, that what is happening all around us has an element of mystery that we will only begin to comprehend as persons of faith. If we allow ourselves to see all that is happening in the light of a divine presence. God has not abandoned us, is not punishing us for our sins, but is seeking to open the eyes of our hearts to a presence and a reality that is larger than we can get our heads around. If we let ourselves become aware of the divine presence right in the middle of all that is going on, we will begin to see in a new light, one that will enable us to respond in a wholesome and creative way. Recently, I came across a quote from St. Teresa of Avila, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. And I think it is very appropriate for what is going on with the virus. And I'll end my part with this. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Anyway, I welcome any comments or thoughts of your own.